To receive weekly mailings of tapes or to sponsor a tape, call 718-375-1023.
Welcome to another edition of our Wednesday night class. Tonight's class is donated in memory of Claire Shoma Aleha Shalom by her family. That's Bahiyeh Bat Zakiyeh. Ruach Adonai Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Just on a personal note, we did know the Meruhemet. She did attend many of our classes, Mrs. Shoma Aleha Shalom. It was the ladies' class on Thursday. Well, she used to come to the Kolel every Wednesday, and she had a group that still reads the Tehillim. And every Thursday she would come, and the boys always joke how she would walk right into the Beit HaMidrash in the middle of the learning and ask us questions and, you know, collect the tzedakah and give out the tzedakah. When she was alive, she was alive. There was no question about it. And I'm sure in Shamayim, she's also creating a tumult or creating a happening, a good happening, which she always created in this world. She surely will be missed in the Torah community, and I'm sure to her lovely family. May her memory be blessed. Amen. We're starting Parashat Vayera. My problem in Parashat Vayera, which I haven't gotten over yet, and I'm still trying to deal with it, is that although there's many subjects in Parashat Vayera, the Hachnasat Urchim of Avraham Avinu at the beginning of the Parasha, the story of Sedom and its destruction, the story of Avraham and Avimelech, the story of Lot and his daughters, packed Parasha. But for some reason, I can never see past Akedat Yitzhak, which is at the end of the Parasha. And no matter how much I'd love to speak about the other parts of the Parasha that we might not have given the proper attention to, but Akedat Yitzhak is such an awesome story, arguably the greatest single action that was ever done by a human being on planet Earth. And being that the Torah is infinite, no matter how many times we're going to go over this story, there's going to have to be new insights and new understandings that we may glean from. And therefore, with your permission tonight, I'd like to go back and read Akedat Yitzhak like the big boys, from the Pesukim, understanding the background and understanding each prat. It's like Pesach, two more cups, we'll have Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehyah Baruch. We begin. If you even want to get some Chumashim to follow inside, you're welcome to do that. Vayhi achar devarim ha'ele. And it was after those events. That's the way the Akedat Yitzhak is introduced. As if something happened first to precipitate the Akedah. What happened? Some of the Mefarshim say that the word Devarim comes from the word Dibur. Dibur is speech. There was a conversation that took place. Hakamim say the conversation was between Yitzhak and Yishmael, two brothers. Yishmael tells Yitzhak, I'm better than you, I'm more religious than you. After all, I got circumcised at the age of 13. You only got circumcised at the age of 8 days old. Which is a bigger sacrifice? 13 years old already, Yishmael's he's a big boy. It's an operation at 13 years old. There's no anesthesia in those days. 8 days old, we don't remember our Brit Milah, we were kids, we don't know anything. So Yishmael's claiming, I'm better than you. I sacrifice for God more. So Yitzhak says, yeah, if God would tell me to sacrifice my whole body, I'd be willing to do it. And it was after that conversation, God comes to Avraham and says, okay, put your money where your mouth is. He says he's going to do it. Let's see if we can do it. So that's the backdrop of the Akedah. The Gemara gives a different interpretation. Gemara says, Avraham made a party when Yitzhak was 2 years old. Vayas Avraham mishte gadol biyom gamer et Yitzhak. And he makes this party, and he invites different people to the party, and he's celebrating the birth of Yitzhak. Satan comes to God and says, such a party and such a celebration, why didn't Avraham bring one sacrifice to Borei Olam? A Thanksgiving. Not a turkey, but a korban. Isn't it proper? God gives you a gift, a son, after 100 years. Put a korban on the Mizbeach. But all the parties, he didn't bring you a korban, said the Satan to God. So God says to the Satan, what, the korban? If I would tell Avraham to bring his son as a korban, he'd do it. Satan says, yeah, let's see. Vayhi ahar devarim ele. And it was after that conversation between God and Satan that caused the Akedah to happen. Of course, we have to point out, why didn't Avraham bring a korban at the party? Was it a monetary issue? Avraham was a wealthy man. What does it cost to take one sheep and throw it on the Mizbeach? In the beginning of the parasha, he was visited by three Arabs. He slaughtered three separate cows to give them the tongue. So Avraham Avinu wasn't penny-wise when it came to his animals. Why didn't he throw a korban in the Mizbeach on Thanksgiving? Yes, Satan's right. Mefarshim explain, because in Avraham's mind, there was no need to bring a sacrifice to God, because he looked at Yitzhak as all for God. Which means he already, in his mind, is giving his son to God. He's going to learn Torah his whole life. He's going to do mitzvot his whole life. He's going to be trained according to the model life of Avraham Abinu, of Torah and mitzvot. And therefore, what do I have to bring a korban for? I'm going to give the gift back to God. I'm giving the whole thing anyway to God. Which means I'm not going to use Yitzhak for anything personal. Yeah, Avraham and Yitzhak didn't have baseball catches together. They didn't go to a football game, Chas v'Shalom. Chas v'Shalom, they didn't do the things that we all do. Yitzhak was a korban already in Avraham's eyes. He's just a God, whatever God wants. So Avraham says, do I have to bring a korban for a korban? In any event, Satan challenges God, so to speak. So God says, fine, we'll call you bluff. Third explanation. There's 70 explanations, by the way, to Vahiyah Haradevarim Ma'il. Tonight we're going to give you 50 of them. No, I'm joking around. I'm not going to give you 50. But I just want to just explain to you. Vahiyah Haradevarim Ma'il, which is nothing. We didn't even start the parasha yet. You could spend a lifetime just explaining those four words. The third explanation is, right before Akedat Yitzhak, Avraham Avinu makes a peace treaty with Avimelech. Avimelech, the king of Pelishtim, Avraham says, listen, we'll make a peace treaty. I won't fight against you, you don't fight against me. Even when my children will conquer Eretz Yisrael, we'll make sure that we don't bother you as you don't bother us. God was not happy with that peace treaty. As if God was telling Avraham, I promised you the land, and I promised to give the land to your children, to Yitzhak, and I told you it's your land in totality. What right do you have to come along now and make deals with Avimelech that you're not going to throw him out of the land? I promised you the land. Now you throw him out also. How could you make a deal? And therefore, since you made a deal on the land that I promised your son, the inheritor, now I'm taking away your son. You didn't do right by making the deal with Avimelech. And therefore the land that was promised to your son, you're not going to have a son. As if it was a punishment. Akedat Yitzchak. Says Rabbi Dessler, why did Avraham make a peace treaty with Avimelech? Whatever we're going to say, you have to understand what we're talking about Avraham Avinu. Whatever we knew, and whatever question we're asking, he knew 10,000 more questions, and he knew 20,000 more answers. And technically, we shouldn't be allowed to even come along and start analyzing what Avraham did. We're zero, we're nothing. We're blind people in the dark with a blindfold on. Now go. Could you see anything? But we have an obligation to study Torah, so we have to try to make a little sense of these things. Says Rabbi Dessler, you know why I made a peace treaty? Because right before the peace treaty, what did he do? He threw out Ishmael from his house. Now that was very difficult for Avraham to do. Although he did it without questioning, but Avraham was the man of Hesed, the man of peace, the man that brings everybody in. For him to throw out his son was a great, great challenge for him. So Rabbi Dessler says after he did that, he needed to compensate. He needed to do a chesed in order to neutralize the effects of throwing out his son. He didn't want that to leave an aftertaste. He didn't want the fact that he was cruel to his son, rightfully so, because God told him. But he didn't want that to leave a trace. So he had to go out of his way to be extra kind. So that's what pushes Avraham to make a peace treaty with Avimelech in order to do a chesed with somebody. But still, God felt it was a mistake. Explanation number four. If you look in the last week's parasha, it says, Vayita Eshel. Avraham Avinu planted a tree. What does it mean, Avraham Avinu planted a tree? Was it Tu B'Shvat? It was Arbor Day? This is the JNF? What do you mean planting trees over here? So Mefarshim say Eshel was actually a hotel. Eshel stands for the words Achila, Shetiya, Lina, eat. Eating, drinking, and lodging. Avraham was the first hotel operator. And the name of the chain was not Hilton, it was called Eshel. And he built these chains all over the world. And what was the policy? You come in for free, you eat for free, you sleep for free. One condition. After dinner, you have to stay for the class. Now, person, after he eats for free, and he's getting a hotel room for free, he feels guilty not to stay for the class. Avraham says, okay, Rabotai, I'm going to give a shi'ur now. You can't say, oh, I got to go. You feel aib. You know, the guy just gave you free room, free board, free dinner. Now, let's see what he has to say. And sure enough, everybody came out of the speech, I believe in God, Hashem is great. So this was Avraham's method to bring the people back to religion. It's been said, you know, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So Avraham Avinu used that method. And what did he say in these speeches? How did he bring back thousands of people to God? His main thing was, God is a compassionate God. God is a loving God. God loves chesed. He loves kindness. And in those days it was prevalent that the goyim used to slaughter their children. The pagans held that you have to bring a sacrifice to God. What was the sacrifice? Their own kids. They slaughtered their kids, and Avraham was the most outspoken against this paganistic practice. He would say, it's haram, it's asur, It's forbidden. God doesn't want this. This was Avraham's main theme of every speech. Talking the people out of human sacrifice. After the Torah tells us what Avraham Avinu's main mission in his life was, what does God tell Avraham now? Go sacrifice your son. Now, obviously, that's going to play very heavily on Avraham. How am I going to do this? I'm the one that's telling everybody, don't do it. Now, I'm going to go do it. I'm going to be, first of all, I'm going to be the laughing stock of the world. They're going to call me a hypocrite. You know, it's the rabbi that gets up and preaches, you got to be honest, you got to be honest, you got to be honest. You know, the next day, there's pictures in the Wall Street Journal, how he embezzled $14 million to the yeshiva, and he's involved in, laundering money. I mean, this is the faker rabbi, got up, so you got to be honest, the guy's a crook. And Chilul Hashem, without a doubt. What do people say? That's religion, that's Torah, that's the black guy, that's it is. Avraham Avinu now, after his whole career of teaching people how wrong it is to sacrifice your children, how compassionate God is, and now he's going to break everything he stood for, you know what's going to happen? All his students are going to say, Avraham's a faker, religion's a joke, let's go back to worshipping idols. It's going to be the biggest Chilul Hashem ever created. The Torah is telling you specifically that that was part of the test. It's not so easy for Avraham to do what he did. This is going to undo his entire career in 5 seconds. It's going to create the biggest Chilul Hashem in the world. Unstoppable. You hear the immensity of the test, what's going on over here? Next word, Veha Elohim Nisa et Avraham. What does that mean? So you always learn, and God tested Avraham. God has to test Avraham. God doesn't know that he's going to pass. God knows he's going to pass. So the test obviously is not for God. God knows that he's going to pass this test. So why test him? The word Nes in Hebrew can also mean a flag. A flag is raised, it's elevated. Veha Elohim nisa et Avraham. God was involved in elevating Avraham. God knew he was going to pass. But for Avraham to reach the top of the mountain, to reach the apex of his potential, he needs to go through an Akedah. It's not for God, it's for Avraham. Avraham becomes a better person after the Akedah. He's a different person. He's not the same Avraham. Veha Elohim nisa et Avraham. God was involved in now bringing Avraham to the next level. And how do I know he wasn't the same Avraham? Listen good. At the end of the Akedah, when Yitzhak is on the Mizbeah and the knife is on his neck, Avraham's ready to slit his throat. The angel calls from heaven. What does the angel say? Avraham, Avraham. So the Mefarshim ask, why do I have to say it twice? Avraham, Avraham. So some rabbis say, because Avraham was so involved in the mitzvah, he didn't hear the angel the first time. It's like the angel, Avraham, Avraham! he had to wake him up. Because he had so much kavanah during the mitzvah. It's like a rabbi praying to Amidah. He's praying. Now there's a fire in the building. Hacham! He doesn't hear, he's praying. So you have to go to Hacham! You have to call him twice. But I saw another explanation from the Mekubalim. If you look at the Ta'amim, after the first Avraham, there's a Pasek. We read it, Avraham, Avraham. The Torah is telling you that there was a big difference between the Avraham before the Akedah and the Avraham after the Akedah. It's a different person. There's a pasek in between. There's a wall, which means it's a different creation. The Avraham before the Akedah, that's one Avraham. But then there's a pasek. Put up a wall, there's a second Avraham. To show you, yes, Avraham after the Akedah was elevated to the top of that mountain. Vayomer Elav Avraham, this is in the beginning of the test. Vayomer Hineni, Avraham says, I'm here, God, what do you want? Vayomer, so God says, we're going to need about 3 hours tonight. Is everybody prepared? Vayomer, kach na et pincha. Why does God have to say the word na? Na means please. God is begging him, please, Avraham, pass this test. Says the Gemara, because God says, prove to the world that I was right for choosing you. She says, I don't want anybody to say, oh, God showing favoritism. God gave Avraham a freebie with all these blessings. Show the world, that I want all the goyim of the world to say, now we know why Avraham is Avraham and why God gave him special status. Look at the man. So, Borei Olam is saying almost kivyachol for his reputation. Please, kahnaha, Avraham, make me look good. Do it in order the people will know that I chose you for a reason. Kahna et bincha, take your son. Avraham says, I have 2 sons. Yitzhak and Ishmael. No, et yechidecha, your only son. He says, I have 2 only sons. Yitzhak is the only son of Sarah, and Ishmael is the only son of Hagar. Asher ahavta, that you love. Now listen to what Avraham answers. I love both. Amazing. You love both? I mean, to me, that's already the giveaway. Asher ahavta, Yitzhak and Ishmael, and Ishmael's Yasser Arafat. Of course, I love Yitzhak. What are you talking about? What's the question? And what does Avraham answer? I love them both. What do you mean you love them? You just threw Ishmael out of your house last week, Avraham. But still, Avraham loved Ishmael. He had to throw him out because that's what Borei Olam said. But whether it's on the conscious, subconscious level, however you want to say it. I mean, the Midrash says that Avraham used to visit Ishmael from time to time. And eventually, because Ishmael knew that his father still loved him, he came and made teshuvah. Ishmael dies a Sadiq. Why? Because he knew his father still loved him. It's not like he threw him out and finished. So, Ad Kedekach, when God tells him, Asher Ahavta, Avraham still doesn't know which son yet. I love them both. He didn't give it away yet. So God has to tell, okay, it's Yitzhak. And why does God have to tell it to him that way? Just tell him, take Yitzhak. So the simple explanation is because you're never supposed to tell a person hard news in one shot. Because you scare him. You're supposed to say, you know, the fellow, he wasn't feeling well. And then they took him to the hospital. And he was critical. And he was having a hard time breathing, and had to put a machine on him, and then, lo alechem, he passed away. You coax the person into it. You don't just go to the guy in the middle of the street, oh, he died. Why? He died. So God says, he's coaxing him into it in order to make it easier for him. But I saw a novel interpretation to this. Listen to a beautiful thought. How do I say this? The Akedah could be a very difficult test for Avraham. Want to take a music for the musical interlude? We'll take a musical break. The Akedah It's okay. The Akedah could be a very difficult test for Abraham, or there's a way that this Akedah could be painless. How could it be painless? You have to understand, Abraham is such a holy man. He is able to elevate himself to the level of a malach. There's no question about it. Which is, if Abraham wants to meditate and become spiritual and put everything on the side and just think of God, he could do this act very, you know, his neshama, take the soul without thinking, it's in the shamayim and it's no emotion, no anything. It's almost like we have rabbis today. They tell stories of rabbis that needed to take operations and they couldn't take the anesthesia. But so the dentist says, well, we can't give you this operation without anesthesia. You'll die from the pain. So the rabbi says, go out for 10 minutes, give me 10 minutes, and then come back in and start drilling. And the rabbi sits in the chair, and what is he? He starts thinking of the Gemara. He's Ma'yin. He's analyzing. He's thinking of the Gemara. He gets so deep into it, he's gone. He's in a different world. Doctor comes in, rabbi, no response. He opens his mouth, starts drilling his teeth. Pain of Iyov. And the rabbi just sitting there, don't feel anything. Half hour later, the operation's over, and the rabbi's still dreaming. He's thinking of the Gemara, whatever he's thinking of. He gets out of his trance, he tells the dentist, no, the operation, what are you going to do with it? Hagam, we did it already, it's over. And then the dentist becomes a Baal Teshuvah, like the dentist, I can't believe it. He was able to transcend himself to the upper worlds like. So a rabbi in our time was able to do that. Avraham is able to meditate and think of the spiritual worlds and elevate himself, and he can just do the Akedah, you know, cold, the Malach. We had a rabbi in the yeshiva. He used to stand in the middle of the yeshiva like a rock, just thinking of the Torah. You look at him, and he's looking right at you, but you know he doesn't see you. He's just thinking. He's so focused, you could go to him, you could pull his pants down, he won't know what you did. It's different. You punch him in the mouth, he won't feel it. He's focused. So Avraham Avinu could reach that level where he's just totally zoned in on the Hashem and on the Torah and everything, and goes, Lord, God says, no, I don't want you to do it that way. That's too easy. Kahna et bincha. You have to take him knowing that he's your son. How much does a father love his son? And it's not only your son. I want you to take him with the knowledge that he's Yechidecha, that he's your only son from Sarah that you were waiting 100 years for, all the prayers, all the tears. And not only that, Ashira Hafta, the son that you loved. Your progeny, the one that's going to perpetuate your legacy. Keep that in mind. Now that test is much harder now. Avraham is told by, you can't zone that. You can't do this as an angel. You got to do this as a father. With the emotions. Now you understand later on, when they're on the way to the Akedah, Yitzhak, the Pasuk writes in Zion, Vayomer Yitzhak el Avraham Aviv. Yitzhak tells his father, Vayomer Avi. He says, my father, Vayomer Hineni Bini. And Avraham answers, I am here, your son. What's going on over here? And Yitzhak tells Avraham his father, and he says, my father. And so double languages over here. What's going on? The explanation is, when Yitzhak starts to realize what's going on over here, he wants to know, is Avraham going to do this like an angel or like a father? So, Vayomer Yitzhak l'Avraham Aviv, he tells his father, Vayomer Avi, are you still my father? Or maybe now you're Malach. Maybe now you're just transcending to a different level and there's no emotion over here and you're just in the shamayim and you're just a cut. And Avi, are you still my father that loves me? Vayomer Hineni Beni. Yes, Yes. You're still my son. I still feel the love for you. We're going to have to do this action as humans, not as angels. That's the test, my son. Because Yitzhak can also put himself in a trance on the Mizbayah and he won't feel anything either. You know, if the rabbi is not going to feel root canal, so Yitzhak won't feel Akedah. But he says, no, inini bini. You have to do this as a bini, as a ben. That's the test. To overcome the emotions. That's why it says when they were finally cutting, when he had the knife out, Avraham was crying, his tears were dripping, he was standing in a puddle of tears. Yitzhak was crying, lying in a puddle of tears. It says the angels in heaven were crying, the whole world was crying. That was the Nisayon. But I want to tell you something else that you never thought of. Hachamim tell us, look at the level of Avraham Avinu was on. We have a rule, Rambam brings it down. A prophet cannot receive prophecy unless he's 100% b'simcha. He has to be happy. He has to be content. If the prophet has an ounce or an iota of sadness or depression, God cannot appear to him. What's the proof? Yaakov Abinu was depressed for 22 years thinking his son was lost. God didn't come to Yaakov for 22 years because he was depressed. Hold on to your seats, what I'm going to tell you now. Avraham Avinu was about to slaughter his son. And what happens? At that moment he gets a prophecy. Avraham, Avraham. What does that tell you? That means at that moment, Avraham did not have an iota of depression, of sadness, of remorse. He was 100,000% bisimha. And go now, go compare now what we're talking about. Don't ask me the question that you think. How can he be bisimha if he was crying? And this is what we say in the piyut. Ayin bimar bocha veleb sameach. Now, how could you cry and be happy at the same time? This is a man that is so in control of his emotions. Like a harpist that's plucking the strings of the harp, that's in control, that hits each string and doesn't make a mistake. Avraham knows how to play each chord of his emotions to control it. You can cry if I tell you, be happy and angry at the same time. What are you talking about? But Avraham is in control. He wasn't just bisimha. He was on the simha level to receive a nivu'ah. Otherwise, God cannot appear to him. Matay yagiyu ma'asai ne'ma'asai avotai Avraham Yitzhak v'Yaakov. This is, we become humble just by talking about the madriga of the level. We continue. Pasuk says, take your son Yitzhak, velech lecha. El Eres Amoria. Oh, deja vu. Lech lecha. We heard those words last week. God told Abraham last week the same words. Lech lecha. Go. I'm going to give you the land of Israel. I'm going to give you children. I'm going to give you popularity. Beracha. And now he hears the same words again. Lech lecha, which is going to undo all the other things from the last Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha was the first test of Avraham. This Lech Lecha is the last test. Avraham now is scratching his head. How could it be? You just told me Lech Lecha. You told me that The lechlecha, leave your father's house, you're going to get everything. Now you tell me, no less the same words, lechlecha, and it's all gone. Taking your son away, hey, no Israel. What about all the stars you told me about? Same word. That's to create the dilemma in Avraham's mind. El Eretz HaMoriah. Now, Moriah is the actual spot where the Beit HaMikdash was built. They call it Mount Moriah. Why do they call it Moriah? Many reasons were given. The Midrash brings down one reason. In the Beit HaMikdash, every day they used to bring the Ketoret. The Ketoret was a very fragrant incense. The most fragrant of all the spices was a spice called Mor. And therefore they called the mountain where the Ketoret was brought, Har HaMoriah, Mount Mor, the mount where the Mor spice was brought. Like Shlomo HaMelech says in Shir HaShirim, Elech li el Har HaMor, Ve'el Givata Levona. So fragrant was this Mor, incidentally, the Gemara writes that after the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed and the Jews were in exile for 70 years, when they finally came back, they stood on the spot of the Beit HaMikdash and they still were able to smell the Ketoret from 70 years before. That's how powerful the Reyach was.
God tells him, bring Yitzhak as a korban ola. Next pasuk, Vayishkim Avraham Babokir. Of course, we said many times, the chidush in this pasuk is not that he got up early in the morning. Avraham, every morning, got up early. Avraham was the one that made tefilat shacharit. He didn't make the 9 o'clock minyan either. Avraham Avinu made tefilat netzahama, which he prayed every morning. The chidush of the pasuk is that he went to sleep. Imagine this. Hashem tells you tomorrow morning you have to go kill your son. Could you sleep? Could you sleep the night before, you know, you have to catch a flight early in the morning? Could you sleep the night before Chas v'Shalom, you have to take an operation? Could you sleep the night before when you're meeting a customer, when you're meeting a buyer, when human beings get nervous? He came home, said, okay, good night, he goes to sleep. How do I know he went to sleep? Because he got up. He saddles his own donkey. Which again, to me, is an amazing thing. Saddles his own donkey. Avraham had 318 slaves. He was so excited to do this mitzvah. It's like, to compare, it's a bad comparison, but to compare what it means to Avraham to saddle his donkey, it's like, you see President Bush has a big meeting with the President of Russia. So you see him at 6 o'clock in the morning in Washington at the gas station, at the self-serve, filling up his limousine with gas. You tell him, hey, Mr. Bush, President Bush, what are you doing? No, I have a important meeting today. We have servants, you have people. No, big meeting. Avraham Avinu saddling his own donkeys. It's the president of the world. He's excited. Now look at this. He takes Yishmael and Eliezer with him. They're like the caddies, you know, to help him on the way. Avraham Avinu was so in control of this situation. He's not panicking. He's not showing any sign of nervousness. So calculated as Avraham, he cuts the wood before he leaves in order to prepare it for the Korban. we would say, you know what, leave it now, we have to go find the place first. When we get there, we'll find some wood, you know, we'll look for wood. No. We can't take chances. Maybe we'll get there, it's not going to be wood. Then we can't fulfill this mitzvah. So Avraham is so in control of the situation, he's mentally sane at this point enough to cut the wood. He'll carry it with him the whole way.
וילך אל המקום אשר אמר לו האלוהים.
ביום השלישי, it's on the third day, וישא אברהם את עיניו, אברהם lifts his eyes, וירא את המקום מרחוק, and he sees the place. Why does God make the trip 3 days? Achamim say he did it on purpose to show that Abraham did the Akedah with contemplation. If he would have done the Akedah the next day, people would have said Abraham was flustered, he was in a frenzy, you know, he got bamboozled, God told him to do it, he went shotgun, he did it, and they all... He had 3 days. He thought about it. He slept on it. He had time to think. He did it with all his deliberation and all his thought. But I want to give you an interesting statistic here that most people are unaware of. Abraham thinks he's going to slaughter Yitzhak. What he actually was going to do, he was going to inaugurate the Beit HaMikdash. That's why God sent him on this mission. That was part of the mission. He sends him to Har HaMoriah. Hachamim tell us, incidentally, there was no mountain. When Abraham got there, it was just a flat piece of land. He says, but God, you said it's a mountain. So he prayed to God that it should become a mountain. And all of a sudden, the mountain appeared. Abraham said, it's not nice. The holiest place now should be equal with everything else. It should be lifted. So Har HaMoriah was created as a result of the prayer of Avraham Avinu. He didn't know what he was doing. He was inaugurating the future site of the Beit HaMikdash. Tradition tells us that the Akedah took place on Kippur, according to one opinion. So if he brought the Korban on Kippur, that means he set out on this journey on the 8th day of Tishri, because Kippur is on the 10th day of Tishri. So 3 days, that means he started the trip on the 8th day of Tishri. You know what else happened on the 8th day of Tishri in Jewish history? On the 8th day of Tishri, that is the day that Shlomo HaMelech inaugurated the first Beit HaMikdash. That's the day he brought the Aaron into the Kodesh Kodashim. Why did Shlomo pick the 8th day of Tishri? Because that was the day Avraham set out on the journey to inaugurate the Beit HaMikdash. And therefore, Shlomo is saying that's the proper day to do it. This place is only holy because Avraham brought the Korban on it. So he brought it on the anniversary of the journey of the Akedah. That's when he made the inauguration of the temple. Pasuk writes, Vayomer Avraham el Ne'arav. So Avraham tells his Ne'arim, Ishmael and Eliezer, Shivu lachem poim ha-hamor. You stay here with the hamorim, with the donkeys. Why? Because Yitzhak and Avraham started to see a light. They saw Shekhinah. So Avraham tells Ishmael, do you see anything special about this area? What did Ishmael say? Nothing. What's for lunch? Nothing. I didn't say anything. So he says, okay, you're with the Hamorim. Put you in the Hamor section. But this is very interesting. This is a claim against all the Arabs. All the Arabs that come along and say, this is one of the holiest places on earth is Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. But the Torah says, when Avraham asked Ishmael, and he pointed to the Temple Mount, and he said, do you see anything? Ishmael, the father of all the Arabs, said, I don't see anything. No, I don't see any Kiddushah. I don't see nothing. To me, it's a regular mountain. So what happened? Yafeh koach ha-ben mikoach ha-av? When the son is more religious than the father? The father's telling you, I didn't see nothing. For the Arabs, this place is not holy. Yeah, to the Jews, we saw something on the mountain. It's written in the Old Testament. They believe in the Old Testament. So the Pasuk writes, he tells, go back, sit with the Hamorim, Va'ani v'hana'ar nelecha adko. What does this mean? And me and Yitzhak are going to go until there. Hakamim say, why does the Torah use the word adko? Until there. Adko. In last week's parasha, God tells Avraham Avinu at Brit Ben Abetarim, come outside. And he points to all the billions of stars. And what does God tell Avraham? Ko yihye zaraycha. Your children are going to be like this. And Avraham Avinu's thinking to himself, V'ani v'anar, me and Yitzhak nelecha, we're going to go to figure out ko. What did God mean with this ko? I'm confused, said Avraham. We're going to go now to figure out what's the bishat. How could God tell me last week, ko yihye zaraycha, and now he's going to take my only son, and I'm going to kill him. What's going to be with the ko? V'ani v'ana nelecha, we're going to go ad ko to try to make sense of the ko yihye zaraycha. V'yikach Avraham et aseh ha'ona, he takes the wood, Yasim al Yitzhak beno, he gives it to Yitzhak to carry. Vayikach beyado et ha'esh, he takes the fire, meaning he takes the fuel, v'et ha'ma'achilet. The ma'achilet is the knife. The Farshim say, why is a knife called a ma'achilet? Ma'achilet comes from the word ochel. The knife of shechita is the first stage in preparing the food. You can't eat the food unless you slaughter it. So therefore we call the knife the ma'achelet, the one that prepares the food. Says the Hachamim, another reason why it's called ma'achelet, because as a result of this knife that Avraham Avinu held in his hand to slaughter his son, we, the descendants of Avraham, thousands of years later, are still eating from this zechut. It's the ma'achelet. This zechut provided such spiritual sustenance that till today we're cashing in the chips from Akedat Yitzhak. It indeed is a ma'achelet. It is a source of nourishment, Akedat Yitzhak v'am Yisrael. So much so, says Rav Hida. Only Rav Hida could say this. That if it wasn't for Akedat Yitzhak, no prayer of any Jew would ever be answered. Are we still eating from this? He says that God, after Akedat Yitzhak, there was such an amount of mercy that was created in heaven, that prayers can become answered. Otherwise, God would deal with us very strictly. Anybody deserves what they get? We don't deserve it. Akedat Yitzhak opened the gates of heaven. Any prayer that's answered is as a result of Akedat. The Pasuk says at that point, Vayelechu Shineim Yahdav. Listen to the story. And they both walked together. They had no more company. Now they're alone. Hachamim tell us, what does it mean they walk together? At this point, Yitzhak doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know that he's the Qurban. For him, they're going on a family barbecue. It's a picnic. Right? So he's going excited. He's with his father. Avraham knows where he's going, to slaughter his son. The Pasuk says they went together. Avraham walked with the same excitement, knowing, like Yitzhak walked not knowing. Yahdav is telling us the attitudes were the same. Imagine that Avraham knows what he's going to do, and he's walking with speed, with excitement. We continue. At this point, Yitzhak asks his father, Daddy, I see already what's going on over here. There's fire, there's wood. Where's the korban? Why does he ask now? This is on the third day. Why does he wait till now? Two explanations. One explanation is, Yitzhak in the back of his mind crossed his mind that maybe he's the Ola. I mean, he's so wood, he sees a knife, he doesn't see an animal, he's thinking, maybe it's me, I don't know. But the halakha says that a korban is holy. You're not allowed to use a korban for anything. You can't use a korban to plow for you, to carry things for you. So once Avraham gives Yitzhak the wood to carry, he says, oh, if he's giving me the wood to carry, I can't be the korban, because I'm a korban, he can't use me. Daddy, who's the korban then? What does Avraham answer? God will show you when you're the korban, meaning now you're not designated yet. We're going to designate you later. It's you, but not yet. So you can carry the wood. You don't think you've got to carry the wood. You still have to carry the wood. But Mefashim say another explanation. This is obviously a very serious question. Where's the korban? It's a very hard question for Avraham to answer. Yitzhak says, I cannot ask this question to my father as long as Yishmael and Eliezer are around. Not to embarrass my father. It's like there was a rabbi in the Gemara. He always would ask questions to his rabbi, but in private. When they were in the Shi'ur, he wouldn't ask any questions, because he didn't want to embarrass the rabbi if the rabbi didn't know the answer. So in front of Yishmael and Eliezer, if Yitzhak is going to say, Daddy, where's the Qurban? No, Avraham, you have to say it's him. He's right there watching, the hearing. So he waited till he got rid of them. Now he discusses the subject. Now Yitzhak finds out he's the Qurban. What does the Pasuk say? Vayelechu shenehem yahdav. What does it mean? After Yitzhak finds out, he still's walking just as fast. Avraham's excited. Yitzhak's excited. They're all excited. The attitude did not change. Amazing. Hatan Sofer says, in his opinion, the test of Yitzhak is even greater than Avraham, as we explained. You know, Avraham heard this from God. Avraham has no doubt. Yitzhak is hearing this from his father. And father wakes up to someone night, listen, son, we have to go. God came to me in a dream. I have to barbecue you. So what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're crazy. What are you talking about? It's haram, asur. What are you talking about? My father has been senile over here. For Yitzhak to trust his father is a big thing. Emunat HaKamim, he has a trust in the rabbi. Avraham heard it directly from Borei Olam. He knows what he heard. For Yitzhak to trust, he could say, Daddy, maybe you heard it wrong. Maybe God said Yishmael, not Yitzhak. Makes more sense. Maybe God wants you to kill Yishmael, turn him into a shawarma. What if I'm the good guy? Yitzhak trusts his father. Now, does he trust him? Yahdav, they go together, the same excitement. There's one more time that the word Yahdav is used in this parasha. After the Akedah is all over, after he passed the test and does what he does, he sends Yitzhak off to yeshiva. So Yitzhak does not return home. Yitzhak goes to Yeshivat Shem Ve'Eved to learn. Pasuk writes, Vayashav Avraham im Ne'arav. Avraham goes back to pick up his help. And Yaezer and Yishmael. Vayakumu Vayelechu Yahdav. And they went back together. What is this Yahdav teaching us? This third Yahdav is teaching us the biggest chiddush of them all. That Avraham returned back Yahdav with the same attitude that Eliezer and Yishmael had when they returned back. Eliezer and Yishmael, they didn't know what was going on. They didn't even know about the Akedah. Did Eliezer and Yishmael have any arrogance in them? Did they have any excitement, any feeling that they did something? No, we walked for 3 days, we're walking back, and nothing, what do we do? Avraham was Yahdav in the attitude. He just did the greatest thing in the world. And he was so humble, he walks back, like nothing, what do? I don't do anything. He had the same attitude as Eliezer and Yishmael, and Yahdav, attitude was the same. Amazing. We do a small thing, already we take out our megaphone, we're announcing it in the streets. I went to class, I learned Torah for an hour, I'm Sadiq. I prayed, I went to shul, I did chesed, look. We can't wait to announce our good. Here, Avraham Avinu, he did the greatest act in history. And you look at him when he's walking back, you can't even tell. He's walking back regular, what happened today? Oh, nothing. What'd you do today? Well, nothing, I went. I took a walk, I went. His attitude, he didn't even feel any. God just put him on top of the mountain now. He reached the highest level a man can reach. And that's why Avraham's Avraham. It didn't affect his character. It didn't inflate his ego. He's walking back with the same anava of Yishmael and Eliezer. He gets to the place. It says, Vayiben Sham Avraham et HaMizbeach. Avraham builds the Mizbeach. Hakamim say, why didn't Yitzhak help him? Because at this point, Yitzhak is a korban. Avraham was scared that maybe when he's going to lift the rocks, maybe he'll cut himself. If he cuts himself, he has a blemish. He can't be a korban. So now he's watching. He can't do that. And this wasn't any mizbeach. The pasuk says, "Vayibin sham Avraham et ham mizbeach." This was the same mizbeach Adam and Rishon built. This was the same mizbeach Cain and Hevel built. This was the same mizbeach Noah built. The rocks were there. He re-erected the mizbeach. Vayaroch et ha'asim. He prepares the wood. The pasuk says, "Vayakod et Yitzhak beno." He ties Yitzhak up. This is the whole key here. Now. It's called Akedat Yitzhak because of these words here. He tied him up. Why did he tie him up? I'll give you the halachic explanation, and then I'll give you the Musar. God told Avraham, lift Yitzhak on the Mizbeah. We have a halachic law that says, Hay noseet atzmo. A human being, you can't carry him. A human being carries himself. So for Avraham to fulfill the mitzvah, to lift him on the Mizbeah, he has to tie him first. So therefore he's considered, according to Halakha, kafut. He's tied. Now the law of Hainu Seet Aswa doesn't apply, so it's Avraham that's lifting him on the Mizbeah. But there's another reason why he tied him. Yitzhak asked to be tied. Why? Yitzhak said, Daddy, I'm scared that maybe when I see the knife I'm going to get nervous. I might kick you. Hasbe Shalom, you're my father. I don't want to hurt you. So tie my feet down tight. It's a nice concern. Tzadok is thinking about his father at this crucial moment. I mean, you have other things to think about, you know. You're writing your will. He's saying Shema Yisrael. He's worried that my father shouldn't get kicked. And your father's slaughtering you. So if you kick him, it's not the worst thing. It's tzidkut. At this point, he's not thinking about himself. But the rabbis ask, because of this one little conversation, we call this whole episode Akedat Yitzhak. It's a side point. Tie me up. Akedat Yitzhak. That's the name. That becomes the name of the story. As if this is the key of the whole thing. Tie me up. God didn't even tell him that he has to tie him up. It was an optional thing. Why does that become the name of the story? You know why? Because the lesson is that in life, we get involved in very lofty things. Everybody has their mission and religion, but sometimes in pursuit of the very lofty things in religion, where we're pursuing Ben Adam LaMakom, we're pursuing a relationship with God, sometimes we do it at the expense of other people. And our Ben Adam LaHavero becomes compromised. You know, we're running to the shiur, I have to get to the class. So we block somebody's driveway. More important, I go to the class, let this guy be blocked in the driveway for a couple hours. Big deal, it's more important. Well, you know, we want to get a seat, you know, so we push somebody to get the seat. You know, this is more important, Torah, learning. Yeah. Sometimes the Ben Adam LaMakom becomes so important at the expense of even the Derech Eretz. And the Torah is telling you over here, look at the greatness of these men. They were involved in the greatest Ben Adam LaMakom. Korban, is there anything greater? Service of God than a sacrifice? But at that moment, Yitzhak says, although we're involved in lofty things with God, we still have to remember, I make sure I don't kick you. Because if I kick you during this, it's compromised, not the same mitzvah. The Ben Adam LaHavero must be there at the same time the Ben Adam LaMakom is there. The opposite is also true. The people are so worried about not pushing each other, but he never goes to the class. And he never blocks somebody's driveway. But you never put on tefillin either, so you have a problem. You need both. Hence, Akedat Yitzhak teaches us the combination of Ben Adam LaMakom and Ben Adam LaHavero. You need both to be complete. One without the other is half a person, is half a body. The Pasuk says, Vayishlach Avraham et yado. Avraham sends his hand, vayikach et ha-ma'achelet, to pick up the knife. What does it mean, he sends his hand? I mean, it's a funny way of saying it. The pasuk should say, he picked up the knife. Well, you send your hand, what's like a UPS, you're sending a package. He sent his hand to pick up the knife. Well, he called his hand up, do me a favor, could you pick up the knife? What does it mean, vayishlach et yado? The explanation is, now Abraham is at the, that's it, he's at the moment. In his mind, what is he thinking? Bincha, yichidecha, shiravta. The emotions are boiling now. Abraham's crying like a baby. He's thinking of all the hotels that he built, all the speeches he gave, everything's going to be in 1 second from now, his whole life is over. So the Pasuk is saying, don't think it was so easy for Avraham emotionally to pick up that knife. He picks it up. But it's almost as if he had to send it. He had to, vayishlach et yado. He had to force himself to pick it up. He was fighting it. There's no problem to say that Adam was fighting this year. The greatness is that he passed the test. That was part of the test, to build it up with the feeling and still pass it. As we explained, so he has to send his hand like, do it. It's the coach that pick it up. He had to send it like, he had to force it to do it. That's it. The knife is on the neck. And that's it. Play ball. This is the game now. The angel from heaven calls out, Vayomer Avraham, Avraham. Vayomer Ineni. He calls him twice, as we explained, because he didn't hear him the first time. He was too involved. Already he's telling him, you're not the same Avraham anymore. Avraham? That was the last guy. Now you're Avraham, you're a new man. Vayomer, the angel is talking. Listen to this pshat. Al tishlach yadecha lanar. Finished. Put the knife down. Na'al taslo mi'uma, don't do anything. Ki ata yadarti, because now I know, ki yere Elohim ata. I know you're a God-fearing person. Ve'lo hasachta at bencha jahidecha memeni. Because you didn't hold back your son from me. Look, you were willing to sacrifice your son. You didn't hold back your son from me. Now I know you're God-fearing. Can I ask you a simple question? This is an angel talking. Not God talking. How could the angel say, Mimeni? You didn't hold back your son from me. Oh, you're a malach, you're not God. He didn't hold back the son from you, he held it back from God. So listen to what I heard, this explanation. Hakamim tell us that every time you do a mitzvah, you create a malach. You create an angel, that's a fact. Whether you see it or not, it's a fact. And the more perfect the mitzvah, the more perfect the angel. Never is it possible to really create a perfect, perfect angel. Because no matter how much we do the mitzvah, we don't have the best kavanah, we have ulterior motives, kavod. This angel that appeared to Avraham, where was this angel from? This was the angel that was created from Akedat Yitzhak. The angel looked at himself and said, I'm perfect. I'm perfect. That happened. A perfect angel was created. If I'm perfect, what does that mean? Avraham's action over there must have been perfect. So the angel tells Avraham, I know for a fact now that you're the greatest God-fearing person. How I know? Mimeni, from me. From me. When I look at myself, and I see how perfect I am, and you created me, I'm a result of your sitkut. To show you the level Abraham reached. Pasuk then says, that the angel called him in Hashamayim. Hashamim say, why didn't he call him when he come down? It's long distance phone call. He called him from Shamayim. Hashamim say, Avraham had a status of a Kohen Gadol. This was Kippur. And he was standing on the Mizbeah, which was in the Kodesh Kodashim. And the Pasuk says, that when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kodashim on Kippur, nobody else is allowed to go into the Kodesh. Gemara says even angels. At that moment, when the angel's calling Avraham, he cannot come down. The Kiddushah is so strong that even an angel would not be able to tolerate it. The Malach is telling Avraham, you're greater than me. The area of Kiddushah in this spot, I cannot even stand where you're standing, Avraham. Hence the angel has to call him min hashamayim, from above. Finally, after Yitzhak is taken down from the Mizbeach, Abraham takes the korban, the animal. The pasuk writes, he puts it on the Mizbeach. Vaya'alehu tahat beno. He brings the animal instead of his son. Listen to what the Zohar says. We don't know anything. The Zohar says, at that moment that Yitzhak was on the Mizbeach, don't ask me to explain this to you because I don't have an explanation. I'm just giving it to you the way I read it. You can ask your local rabbi for an interpretation. The Zohar says, at that moment Yitzhak on the Mizbeach had the neshama of a nekeva. Whatever that means. He had the neshama from a female. Now, if a man has the neshama of a female, he cannot have children. To have children, you need a neshama of a zachar and a neshama of a nekeva. Not only a man and a female. You need the spiritual components of Zachar v'Nekeva. Yitzchak had Nishmat Nekeva. The second Avraham put the knife, the Neshama of the Nekeva left him and went into the Ayil, went into the rain. And now Yitzchak was Neshamalis. He died. God made Tihyat HaMetim on Yitzhak, and when he resurrected him with Neshama V'Zachar, and now Yitzhak was ready to have children. That means if Yitzhak did not go through Akedat Yitzhak, he would never have children. Listen to the irony over here. Let's say Avraham does not pass this test. Yitzhak's alive, Mazal Tov, beautiful. Yitzhak will get married, he has Neshama V'Nekeva, can never have children. Game over. No Jewish people. But because he did it, that was all an exercise to take the Neshama V'Nekeva out into the animal. Tehayat HaMetim with a new Neshama. Incidentally, Hakamim tell us, Avraham Avinu wrote the first Beracha Na'amida, Magen Abraham. Yaakov Avinu wrote the third Beracha Atakadosh. And Yitzhak wrote the second beracha, Mehayeh HaMetim. When did he write it? When he got off the Mizbeach. He was resurrected. Mehayeh HaMetim. So when Avraham's bringing the animal on the Mizbeach, and he slaughters it, and he burns it, it's as if he's burning Yitzhak. Because his neshama was in there. And therefore, when we say the ashes are considered as if the ashes of Yitzhak, it's true. There was an element of Yitzhak that was in that korban. That's already in the upper worlds with the neshamot floating back and forth. Like I said, you can ask your local Kabbalist to give you an explanation to that. Avraham Avinu walks away and he makes a prayer to God, and we conclude. His prayer to God is Borei Olam. Just like I conquered my emotions and I suppressed my love of my son in order to do your will, please Borei Olam, when my descendants are going to sin and you're going to have the feeling of anger, please suppress your anger and do the will of my children. And Borei Olam for thousands of years is answering that tefillah of Avraham Avinu. Not only on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, but the year throughout. And tonight we learned an unbelievable lesson in who we're talking about over here. And what this Akedah meant for Avraham, when he passed this test, he asked God, please, he made God make a shivua, be nishbati, please God, swear to me that you're not going to test me anymore. Finished. This is the last test. And Avraham's God told him, I don't have to test you anymore. You can't go any higher. You reached your highest potential. After reading such a story with the Mefarshim, you have to say to yourself, Matai yagiyu ma'asai lema'asai avotai Avraham Yitzhak and Yaakov. You have to feel so humble, so insignificant, that we have even the right to discuss the giant of people of Avraham and Yitzhak. But we pray tonight to Borei Olam, in the zichut that we read it, consider it as if it happened again tonight through our learning. And please, Borei Olam, all the tragedies and all the gezerot and all the unnatural things that we're hearing in our community, and the disease and the hardship from people, from young people as well, we ask Borei Olam to please suppress your anger, just like Avraham suppressed his love to fulfill the word of God. Please, Borei Olam, suppress your anger and treat us with rahamim. And for all those that have come here tonight and stayed at this late hour, almost 11 p.m., may Avraham Avinu go to Borei Olam tonight and say, in the merit of us studying what he did, Borei Olam will say, all the members that came to this class tonight to try to understand what I did, give them beracha, give them success, and give them mercy for them and their families and Am Yisrael. Amen. Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha Omer, Asar Ha'os Barakos, Zekhoni Yisrael, Lefikha, Shirban Ando Shemar, Al Mechafes Oman, Zekho Yadid Torah, Biyadir.
To receive weekly mailings of tapes, or to sponsor a tape, call 718-375-1023.